Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
No Mercy is a project of German producer Frank Farian, mostly known for his work with Boney M. The band consists of three musicians, Marty Cintron and twin brothers Ariel and Gabriel Hernandez. The lineup hasn't changed since 1996, which is considered the official year of the group formation. Marty has Puerto Rican roots while Ariel and Gabriel were born in Cuba. All three musicians lived in the USA until moving to Germany to work with Frank. The band had many chart-topping and platinum hits in the 1990s, namely Missing, Where Do You Go, Please Don't Go, When I Die, and Kiss You All Over. Since the 90s, No Mercy, represented by Marty Cintron, has carried on to tour the world successfully with sold-out shows and continue to release new music. Up next on Slapsfront, we've got Marty Cintron from No Mercy. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm in Miami Beach right now, looking out at my porch right now. It looks like it's pretty nice weather. And I was in New York. I was there for Easter.
Where does the name No Mercy come from?
Well, we were sitting around with the producer, Frank Farian, in Germany, in Frankfurt. And we were at the table saying, well, what are we going to name the project? And we were just throwing some names around. And then... one of the guys said, oh, well, you know, we were just talking about different things and we're going to have No Mercy on when we come out. And they were like, you know, that name was adopted. We're like, man, that's a pretty cool name. No Mercy. Yeah. Let's do that. You know, it was kind of a quick thing, but we all agreed and we liked it. And Mercy is history.
Okay, so now let's rewind your story. I know it's a number of years, decades and so forth. At what age did you realize, whether as a child or teenager, cool, you want to be in this space, this creation music world, and how did that journey progress?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, when I was younger, probably in, 15, so 13, 15, you know, I started playing just a little bit of guitar, played drums, and, you know, I took some music courses a little bit in, you know, junior high school, mm-hmm. or whatever you call it now, elementary and then middle school actually. And then I just really took to music, and I just was in different bands when I was younger, playing drums, starting out as a drummer and then switching over to guitar, then realizing, you know, when there was no singers around, I was the designated singer. So, yeah, just evolved from there.
And how did you meet the other guys from the band and Frank?
Yeah, well, I was in Miami Beach in 95. I had come back from Japan after a little bit of an accident in Japan. And I was staying, I was actually performing in this restaurant on Ocean Drive in Miami Beach. And he was staying a couple of doors down at this place called Casa Grande. And basically he saw me singing and playing, and he approached me to do, it's like, wow, I really like your voice. Well, you play guitar. Maybe we could do something together. And I was like a little like weary about like, who is this guy? But yeah, it turned out that it was true. A couple of weeks later, he flew me to his recording studio in Frankfurt, Germany. And then I had known the guys previously in Miami Beach from different castings. And also they were dancing for Prince they had a club down here. Prince had a club known as called Glam Slam on Washington Avenue in Miami Beach. And those guys were dancing there. And I was like, wow, they're perfect. We were about the same height, you know, and they were dancing with all the latest cool dance moves, you know, no ballet and no pirouettes. So I was like, this could work, you know? And, it was, you know, kind of my idea to add the Spanish guitar in with the music. And and that's how the songs are evolved.
I know you said you own the project No Mercy. Are the other guys still involved, or is it just yourself now?
Yeah, we're still involved. I mean, we talk. We're still friends. They have their own business going on, but they don't want to dance anymore. So But they do still write, and we are, you know, working on different ideas and everything like that. But I'm the one going out on the road and still been keeping the project going and performing all the songs, the hits and new songs as well. And, you know, doing acoustic guitar versions and live to track, sometimes with a band, depending on the budget. And yeah, so I've been going all around the world doing that.
You are and were the lead singer of the group, correct?
Correct. Okay. Yes.
Now, so what keeps motivating you to get up on stage and perform?
Oh, wow. It's the people. I tell you, it's the fans. You know, when you see how they react, like I'll go out even, you know, whenever I go out on stage and perform these songs, it's like they just heard them like a week ago. It's amazing. Yeah. So that right there, putting a smile on people's face and seeing how they react to the music, that's a high in itself. It keeps me going to motivate to do new songs and you know, new tracks. And of course, it's hard to get the newer ones out there without the big, big label support. But it's still, you know, we're still doing it. I'm still doing it anyway. So it's a lot of fun.
I'm normally that guy right up in front, dancing and jamming, doing my thing, having a good time. I'll take my cell phone out for a couple of photos, couple of videos, and then I put my phone away. I notice the people around me oftentimes they have their cell phones out 70, 80, even 90% of the time.
Filming. Oh, yeah, it's annoying.
Okay, so from the person on the stage, you ready? I'm gathering that bothers you.
Well, it does, but it's nothing you can really do about it. You can't say, hey, everybody, you know, put your phone away. It's their personal moments that they gather, that they get from, you know. So there's nothing you can do. You just got to – that's the business we chose, and that, you know, you have to roll along with it. So I just do. And then whatever they want, it's up to them. You know, you're there for them. They come to see you. So whatever goes. I'm cool with it.
And what, after all these years, keeps you motivated to create new music?
Yeah, like I said, just, you know, being able to connect with people from all over the world, from different languages. It's amazing. You know, the music is really a universal language.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody, I'll go to Kazakhstan and they like the music just as much as somebody in Germany or, you know, Colombia or whatever. So it just keeps me going, man, to know that you can really connect with people through music. It's amazing.
Now, from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song, is it easy every time? What motivates it? What invigorates it? Let's unpack your creative brain.
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes it'll start out with a guitar riff.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll start out with a bass or maybe a drum or even a keyboard, you know, a keyboard loop or a riff. So it's just not really, or maybe a lyric will inspire something. So it's never one specific thing. But I always try to have a song completed first before you go into this, you know, and start actually recording, you know, to have the verse, the chorus, or at least a structure. Otherwise, if you try to like just create without a plan, it's you know, you can do it, but it's not as simple.
When you're on stage, obviously, you know, the fans love the older stuff. Do you find they are open to hearing the newest stuff, or is they like, okay, just focus on the older stuff?
They are. I mean, they, of course, they're there to hear the stuff, the music that they know. So you have to carefully integrate it into the program with giving them, you know, not too much of the new, and, you know, you have to definitely give them what they want for sure. It's a little tricky, but it has to be done because otherwise they're not going to know that you have new stuff, you know?
Exactly.
So you got to do it.
Okay. So I love this discussion. I have it with all my people I interact with on the show. Right. I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. I love the aesthetic of the journey, of the choice, of the receiving, the unpackaging, listening to song from one to whatever number.
Sure.
I'm not sure if you're aware that CDs, even cassettes and vinyls, are in a massive upward trajectory. And it's the younger kids, actually, the teenagers and the early 20s, that are buying into it again.
But we're also discovering they're discovering the old music now from the 70s and 80s. It's incredible. Yeah.
So, and we also have the streaming platforms where people consume music on. What is your observation of the landscape at the moment?
Well, it's very interesting because people, with all the tools that they have with computers and the software that's very, very user-friendly, you don't have to have a million-dollar console, you know, to do a great song anymore. You could just use like GarageBand or even stuff with an iPad. samples are available all online. And if people are being really, really creative, incredible. And, you know, they can make a record sound really, really good now if they have a great idea. And they don't need a label. They just use TikTok or so I think or the other various platforms that are out there. And it's pretty amazing. You know, they're getting millions and millions of hits and getting a streaming revenue money from these platforms. So I think it's great, you know.
For me, I bought a new CD player last year and everyone was like saying to me,
really?
Everyone was saying to me, you're not going to find a CD player. You can't buy them anymore. And I went in South Africa. There's a platform similar sort of to Amazon, but different, called Takealot. And I thought, okay, I'm just hoping that there'll be one option. And there were like hundreds of options. I had to narrow it down and narrow it down and narrow it down. And also what I find interesting is that I take my CDs out, I listen to them, but I also have my Spotify playlist because I teach classes at the gym. And the song that I listen to on Spotify and the song I listen to on the same machine on the CD, the quality of the sound is like, with a CD, it's like I'm in a stadium compared to on Spotify, it feels contracted and small.
Well, because it's compressed. So the files are very, very compressed because they have to, with the Spotify, they have to compress the files to fit all the information down. So with a CD, you're getting more of the quality, the high fidelity sounds. It's like you liken it to like a picture. You have a high resolution picture that you could blow up for as a poster because you're getting all the detail, all the, you know, much finer quality. But if you put it on the internet, or you have to compress it down, so if you blow it up, it won't be so high quality, you know. So the detail is definitely lost, you know, in the Spotify and on the online platforms.
I love that analysis you give about the picture, and that it gives me a nice picture in my mind. So what you said, you're working on new music. Is it going to be a body of work of a whole album? What's happening in the next
series? Singles, definitely albums. You know, we have a lot of material that has not been released yet. Unfortunately, the producer for Frank Farian passed away a couple months ago.
Shame. Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, everything's kind of up in the air right now as far as what Sony, their label, is going to do. So I just have to just I'm kind of in charge of everything now. With as far as the direction. So, I'm basically going out doing shows. I've got a lot of shows booked. And, you know, I'm going to speak with the label because we will continue. But it just happened that he just recently passed away. So we have to see what's going to happen as far as when everything gets sorted out with the foundation and the music with the label. Because we shot a video in December last year of 2023. Mm-hmm. And that was the last video that we did with him producing it. We're gonna see by the next couple of months what's gonna happen.
Oh, so up until last year, he's still involved with the production and the new
Absolutely.
Music.
Oh, yes.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 2 years, 5 hours, I know your answer will be different every time simply because there are millions of them. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be and by whom?
Wow. I mean, I like a lot of the old and a lot of the new. I like a lot of like Led Zeppelin stuff, but then I like Bruno Mars. I like a lot of the old R&B stuff from like George Michael to even a lot of the stuff, the newer stuff that's coming out. DJs, but the Black Coffees of the world. So I have a very diverse playlist of everything that's going on, you know. Zoo is really great. So there's just really some really interesting stuff happening in the musical landscape right now.
So when you are listening to songs by other artists, are you able to just relax and enjoy it for what
Absolutely.
It is?
Absolutely. Yeah, especially when I'm driving, you know.
Okay.
Sure. And especially listen to the production, how the things are panned left and right and the different space that's in the, you know, the sound quality and everything and analyzing it. Yeah, of course.
Okay, but now are you able to just relax and enjoy it or are you always analyzing it?
Always analyzing somehow. Yeah.
Okay. Figuring out how they created it.
Yes, exactly. Okay. It's very hard to just sit and just like, being a producer and everything, to just sit and just, you know, especially if you really like something, it's like, oh, I like that. You know, you're always trying to like see what the process was, or think about how the process was creatively for them to get there. You know, so even like Ariana Grande, you listen to those mixes and it sounds great. You know, some of the how big it sounds and spacious and mastering, and there's a lot of elements that go into it. You know,
when you're writing or creating your own new music, do you have to take a step away from listening to music by other people for a moment? Because unconsciously you might feel, okay, well, we might be interspersing into yours, or that's not an issue for you?
Sometimes, but you know, it's good to kind of reference other songs that are kind of similar. So it's yes and no at that. It just really depends, you know, on the music. But if you're trying to be totally original, and just do your own thing, then, you know, there's no need to reference other things. But if you're trying to get a certain sound, like a certain thing that you heard, then it's nice to just be the reference.
Marty, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as a final message, what would you like to say?
I just appreciate, you know, all the fan support over the years. We had so much. I get so many from the Facebooks and the Instagrams, and even the fans that come out to watch the shows. It's been an amazing journey, and you know, I can't believe, like, after all this time, they still play the music on all these various platforms, including radio. So I just really appreciate it, and I hope they they find the new music interesting when it comes out as well. So that's about it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.